happy day. Today is an important day. It's important, first of all, because it's the Lord's Day, and we have the opportunity to come together in an assembly like this and worship God on the first day of the week. It's also important because today is the day that the One Nation Under God television program will be shown throughout the nation, and kicking off one of the biggest campaigns to put literature into 102 million homes, that through that we might be able to teach people about God and about Christ and about the Bible. And today also is an important day because it is a day that we've designated to honor Miss Laura Laycook. And as I think about that, I emphasize again what I said in the first place. I think today is a happy day. I sat and talked to Miss Laura the other day for several minutes and suggested to her that she ought to be happy to have come to this point in life, having accomplished what she has. And as she retires, in a sense, from the active participation, like she's been doing for several years, she's not retiring from being a Christian, and she's not retiring from being able to have the memories of all the good things that have happened. And I want her to think of today as a happy day. God's Word teaches us to honor people. To honor God, of course, above everything else, but to honor people. And I think it is appropriate that we are doing that. As I've thought about today and the honor that we give to God and the honor that we're specifically giving to Sister Laycook, I decided to think for just a few minutes about the subject of teaching. You know, it would be almost impossible for us to overemphasize the importance of teaching. God had one son that he sent from heaven to this earth, and that son was a teacher. The writer of Acts, in referring back to what we believe to be the gospel according to Luke, said that he'd written the former treatise of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And if you want to know what part of his life included that teaching, that verse says, until the day that he was taken up. The life of Jesus Christ was a life that was committed to teaching. When that Christ gave the great commission to his apostles and through them to all of his followers, he emphasized teaching. He said, you go and teach all nations. And then after they have responded, after people have responded to the gospel invitation, he said, you teach them some more. Teach them the things that I have commanded. Teach them to observe. And so the process of bringing people to Christ, Jesus says, is through teaching. And he says the process of keeping people faithful in Christ is through the process of teaching. And that's easily understood when we're reminded that even faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now in that same passage, he said, how can a person believe if he hasn't heard, and how can he hear unless there has been teaching? Teaching is, in a sense, the central quality of Christianity, or at least the means by which those other qualities in Christianity are presented to people, and people are encouraged to come to Christ and to live for him. Even as early as families like Abraham, things were said about how he taught his children to do the things that were right. You can take the Bible and start at Genesis and come down through the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian dispensation to the book of Revelation itself. And you find that the thread that runs from the beginning to the end is a thread of teaching. In fact, in that last chapter of Revelation 22:17, he's talking about people saying, come. He's really talking about how those who are in the bride, those who are in the church, are involved in inviting other people to Christ. That's the process of teaching. And again, I say it would be hard for us to overemphasize the importance of it. As I have thought about that, and particularly thought about the impact that a woman like Sister Laura Laycook has had on the work of the church through teaching, there are some special passages of Scripture that come to mind. I want to share some of these with you today, and if we were to give this discussion this morning a topic or a heading, I think I would call it, What Makes a Good Teacher? The first passage to which I refer is the last few verses of the book of John, John chapter 21. It's a conversation between our Lord and Peter. Three times, as you remember, he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Peter was one who would easily make excuses and really not understand the impact of this. And one of the things that Peter says is a little bit unusual. During this conversation, recorded in verses 20, 21, and 22, Peter looks over and sees another apostle, John. The Bible says the one that Jesus loved, and John is referred to as the one that Jesus loved, evidently in a special sense. And Peter asked the question, he said, Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus, in a sense, looked back at Peter, and he said, Peter, you quit concerning yourself about what somebody else is going to do. What does it matter to you if this man were to remain until I come? He didn't say he would. He just said, what would it matter if he did? He said, Peter, I've told you what I want you to do. You need not be asking about what somebody else is going to do. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now notice these words. Follow thou me. Indicated here as something that is needed to be a good teacher is for a person to accept himself and his own responsibilities and not compare himself or herself to what somebody else can do, might do, or might be expected to do. Jesus said, Peter, I'm not talking to you about what John can do or what John might do or what I might require of John. I've told you, Peter, what I want you to do. And that's to feed my lambs and to feed my sheep. And you need to be about the business of following me. I believe one of the things that has made Sister Laura Lakehook an excellent teacher is the fact that she accepted her own responsibilities and did not spend her time comparing what she was doing with somebody else, whether or not it was more important than what somebody else was doing or whether it was on the same level that somebody else was teaching. But she accepted her responsibility instead of looking over and asking, Lord, what's somebody else going to do? She looked inwardly and asked herself, what can I do? And then in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, just after the verse that we usually quote to our young people about how they are to be the right kind of example even in youth, Paul said some interesting things to Timothy. Timothy was a young man at this time, and he was being primed to be a teacher, to be involved in teaching the Lord's will. Till I come, give attendance or attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. I think that's involved in making a good teacher. Where's one's attention? What's it focused on? Reading, reading, reading. Exhortation, and also concerned about the teaching of God, the doctrine that comes from Him. Then in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. This may have been a very special gift in the case of Timothy, but the principle would apply to all of us. A talent or a gift that is given is to be used. Have we not seen the evidence of that? Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. I picked up a note this morning in the office that Sister Dorothy Cole had sent to be put in Miss Laura's scrapbook. Sister Cole is in the hospital and unable to be with us today, but she sent this note. And after writing the note on a small notepad or piece of paper, she wrote a sentence up the side of that. And that's the only sentence I read, but here's what it said. I'm talking about Miss Laura. She has a one-track mind teaching the Bible. I think that says the truth. And isn't that saying what's said here? Notice he said, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. Is there not a sense in which all of us who are going to be teaching need to do that? That doesn't mean we sit down with the Bible in our laps 24 hours a day or that we're down on our knees praying 24 hours a day. It also includes all of those aspects of life, even recreation and sleep. But he says all of this is to be done in the sense that you give yourself wholly, completely, to that task that is before you. And then in the next verse, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. In other words, don't just teach it, but live it. live it and teach it. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Live it and teach it. If you're going to teach it to somebody else, you live it in your life. The Bible underscores that throughout its entirety. I believe we have seen that underscored in the life of one whom we honor today. The next passage turns back just one page again in 1 Timothy. I believe one of the qualities that helps all of us to be good teachers, and particularly in the case before us today, is to understand our restrictions. And there are some restrictions for all of us. Some things we're not to teach, some things we're not to do, and particularly a restriction that is given to a woman who is a Christian. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." I submit to you this morning that Sister Laura Laycook has understood and has appreciated that passage and has applied that passage in her life. I listened to a tape just this past week by a young man in the Texas area who is promoting the concept of women participating in practically everything in our worship services. He referred to a letter that he had received from a woman in which the letter said, "I am tired of not being able to use my talents in the Lord's work." I don't think Sister Laura Laycook ever said anything like that. I'm hearing so many say today, "Oh, if there was just an opportunity to serve, look how we're pushing back." Let me ask you to consider something. Sister Laycook never served as an elder. Show me an elder living today or that has ever lived that's influenced more people than she. She never stood in a pulpit as I'm standing in the pulpit today to preach God's word. Show me a preacher. Show me a preacher who's influenced more people and helped bring more people to Christ than this godly woman who understood her place and her opportunity in the Lord's church. If God permits me to preach another 30, 40, 50 years in a successful way, I submit to you that what I will have done in the Lord's kingdom as far as touching the number of people involved will only touch the hem of the garment of what has been done by a godly woman who respected her God and his teachings and his guidelines and used her talents in his service. If there is an example that teaches that, we have the example before us today. And then the passage that I think sums up all of what these other three passages say and in a sense sums up the teaching process is 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Notice what Paul says needs to be taught. He says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." He's saying you teach the proven doctrine of God. I believe we have seen that over the past several years by this one and many others who realize that although it is important to teach about attitudes and feelings, that it's also important to teach the facts and the things that have been given to us by the apostles. Has there ever been a preacher that has preached a lesson on the establishment of the church that has gotten it across any better than Miss Laura has to the boys and girls in her classroom? She taught them what the church is. She taught them who Christ is. She taught them what worship is. She taught them what the Bible is. Attitude, yes, but doctrines of God that are fundamental that will stand there and stand with them and help train other young ladies to do the same thing, which just fits this pattern. Paul said, "Timothy, I'm teaching you. You teach others And those others need to be faithful. That means faithful to God's cause and His teaching. They need to be able. They need to have talents that can be used. You teach other faithful and able people who shall be able to teach others. There is the generation after generation after generation after generation of teaching. And when we have people like Sister Laura Laycook in our classrooms, we will not have to assume what the younger generation knows and what they will know when they become the leaders in the generation that is ahead of us. A good teacher looks inward at his or her own opportunities and not compare to somebody else. A good teacher meditates on God's word and gives herself or himself wholly to that and takes heed to self, to live it and to teach it. A good teacher will work within the boundary of God's guidelines, opportunities, and limitations. And a good teacher will promote those ideas of being faithful and able and taking what's been committed and teaching it to the next generation and encouraging them to teach it to the next. I believe that's the kind of teacher that we've seen. And I know it's the kind of teacher that we saw in our Lord. And it's the kind of teacher that He wants each of us to be. Teaching. That's where it is. Extending of the invitation. That's teaching and encouraging and exhorting. This teaching process from God's Word teaches us to believe, to have that faith, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And that teaching process tells us how to come back and straighten things out when we make mistakes. And therefore, based on the teaching process from our Lord, His invitation is extended. You need to respond to it. Come as together we stand and sing.